When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live at Steelers OTA sessions here for hour number two of today's show on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. And you just heard the horn there. That should end today's OTA session. We are hopeful to get our guest today, Braden Fajoco.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Getting these new guys is fun.
Steelers nose tackle. That's an interesting position.
Overall. I wanted to ask him about that.
The entire defensive line right now, if you look at it, obviously you got Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi.
They're making the team. You know what I mean?
They're making the team. DeMarvin Leal should be good.
And I think we should expect a step forward from him this year. You know,
obviously they spent a second-round draft pick on Keanu Benton.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
That's your core.
There's four spots.
Yeah, right.
They typically keep six. They've done seven in the past.
I can see
before.
Seven this year.
Yeah.
Especially consider inside linebackers a little lighter.
You got Fajoco.
Mm-hmm.
You got Montrevious Adams.
Do you think both those could make the team?
Oh, man. With the addition of Benton, I don't see it.
I don't either. I think the writing's on the wall that's a, two dogs, one
and
bone.
Typically,
thing.
They don't cut a guy that they signed in free agency.
I'd say it doesn't bode well for Adams.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But then you got guys like Jonathan Marshall, Isaiah Loudermilk, Armon Watts.
Watts is a guy they just signed,
another
too.
Another guy signed.
Which I didn't. I took as a bad sign for Loudermilk.
Yeah. And then there's some other guys there that are, more depth pieces.
Mm-hmm. But Marshall's not a throwaway, though.
Marshall
that's
is
probably
not
a
throwaway
name
at all,
don't realize.
I mean, he's played a good number of games in the NFL as well.
I think he gets paid to play football this year.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you start looking at that room, and you're like, okay, you're talking, now maybe two bones and six dogs.
Yeah, I mean, four are guaranteed.
Yeah.
And are your core guys, which is nice. Two of them are young. One of them's your big-time leader and the best player of the group by far. And I expect a lot more out of Ogunjobi, too.
He wasn't healthy last year.
Yeah, as I say, I wrote this pass rush article, and he was one of many that had two sacks or less. His history shows he's more productive than that.
Yeah.
And we often talked almost every Wednesday, every Thursday during the season.
He just wasn't practicing because of stuff.
Just
the toe, the ankle, the foot.
Just get him to Sunday.
Yeah.
Even when they signed him, he wasn't 100%. So I don't think he's going to be Stephon Tuitt, but I think he's going to be a more productive, useful player in making tackles for loss and plays in the backfield.
Well, I think their plan is that Leal or Benton become Stephon Tuitt.
Right.
That's the idea.
That's high praise. That's a really.
I mean, I don't know if they can. Tuitt was really good.
He was really, really good.
At the height of his powers.
Right.
But you drafted these guys in the second and third rounds with the idea that that's your future.
Yeah, and Leal to me is really interesting, and I don't know that he'll ever be a huge snap count guy, but he was asked to do some different kind of things last year too.
Yeah.
I mean, he did some stand up, which was nice because he can. But I think this year they're going to say, you're a hand in the dirt between the tackles, interior pass rusher, and different package player. You're not going to be standing up and moved all over the place. So there's a couple dudes on this team. I mean, I noticed this with Kendrick Green, where it's just put him in one place and go excel. And Leal flashed last year. I mean, the end of the season was pretty strong for him. So I'm warming up to him being more and more productive. Him and Benton are very different players, and I think their snap counts might change based on opponents and whatnot, where Ogunjobi and Hayward are going to be constants.
You've got a mix of different kind of body types there, different styles, guys who can play the nose, guys who can play outside, guys who can play the nose and play outside, which I think that could be Benton.
That could be Benton to me. Yeah, and Cam can do it, of course. You got to realize most snaps, this group we're talking about, there's only two of them on the field.
Yeah.
Not always, but mostly there's two.
Probably 65% of the time.
Yeah, and if those top four are eating up a lot of those, that's a pretty good foursome.
You know?
And if Benton's still learning, okay, well, we'll give you 15 snaps in week one, and by week five you have 25.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the plan. It's a good plan. Or an injury comes in, it doesn't wreck things.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. You've got, again, more depth
mm-hmm.
across the board.
Massive
trend
here.
You make a trade for a guy like Armani Watts, who's played a lot in this league, and you're like, well, I don't know if he makes his team.
Yeah, he's easily forgotten. But if that's your sixth guy,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot better than it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a quality. I think he's a Wormley.
Again, you get into November and you're going down to, mm-hmm. Cleveland, you're going to Cleveland, or you're going down to Baltimore, and those guys have to play a lot of snaps. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to be overwhelmed by this.
So we just brought up Wormley. I mean, there's been a lot of games, a lot of stints during his time here where he was the third guy in that pecking order,
yeah.
And he probably should be the fifth.
Right.
Where Watts, almost the same player to me in terms of value, and he's right now the six or maybe even seven, So the Wormley of 2 years ago to me would probably be sixth right now of this group or fifth,
yeah.
And that's what you're looking for.
Right. I mean, you're talking about a guy who a couple of years ago had seven sacks.
Yeah, right. I'm not discrediting his contributions. He was a valuable guy. But, I think Watt can do the same thing. But he's lower on the depth chart, which just speaks to what they have right now.
Yeah, again, it's. I love that
Benton pick, too.
Yeah, if we went over position by position, we did that,
mm-hmm.
we'd have the same discussion almost everywhere.
Almost everywhere. Right. I mean, some off-the-ball linebackers a little goofy, but even, Marcus Golden would have been so valuable last year.
Yeah.
during the course of the year.
Yeah.
Or let alone.
Oh, yeah, TJ's out for, okay, well, we're going to plug this guy in, and he's going to give you – during those six games or seven games, whatever it was, he'll give you three sacks.
He's going to be a quality player.
Okay, that was right, more than you got out of it.
He's an NFL starter.
Yeah. Now maybe Alex Highsmith isn't getting the tag team double teams that he was getting.
Right. And I can't stress this enough. I mean, they were remarkably fortunate that none of the O-linemen went down. But if any of the O-linemen go down this year, I'm not saying they won't miss a beat, but they'll have way better chance to make up for that than they would have a year ago.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's true all over the roster right now.
I'm just looking to see.
It's true at quarterback. It's true everywhere.
Did our guy sneak in and we miss him here?
I haven't seen him, but I haven't been good at
looking. Of the defensive linemen have gone off. I'm looking across the field there. Is he still out there? He's wearing number 96.
Let's get the eyeballs out on
some
him.
Of these guys take their stuff
right.
As soon as practice is. Obviously, it's hot.
I just don't see a lot of gold jerseys out there, though.
Might be over there hitting the sleds right now.
It looks like some big bodies hitting the sleds over there.
Yeah. So
I think Leal's over there, and it's hard to – a bunch of O-linemen in the way. They're better doors and windows right
very
now.
Very big men standing in our
obstructing.
Way.
Obstructing.
That's what they do. That's what offensive linemen
that's
do.
That's their job, man.
That's kind of
– the picket fence.
Yeah, that's what they do. Once again, a lot of guys, even though practice has been over for 10 minutes now, still out there getting work in.
Is it hotter today than it's been? I mean, it's not bugging me or anything, but it seems stickier. Yeah. You think it's cooler?
I think there's a little bit of a breeze today.
Okay. I mean, but
it's a little hazy, though.
They aren't anxious to get off the field. That's one thing I've noticed already this week. Week three of OTAs, I think more bodies have stayed on after than the first two. And I was commending them the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. So that defensive line room.
It's a good one.
A very good. Again, two premium picks there the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they have some intent there.
I mean, frankly, if only one hit, and they both look promising, you'd be happy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good hit rate. I mean, and that could be an impact guy.
Yeah. I look at that defense, and again, you mentioned, the addition of Marcus Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're looking at a situation where Nick Herbig doesn't have to play.
Yeah, that's
now he can be a special teams guy and do those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
If he hits, great.
Right.
If he doesn't, you can do some different stuff with him. Maybe you slide him inside at some point, but you don't need him to play right away.
Mm-hmm. And we talked to Herbig and liked him a lot going into the draft, not knowing he was going to be a Steeler. And in all the mock drafts we did, he ended up on our team
a fair amount.
Yeah, a fair amount. So I mean, we were fans. But frankly, when the draft ended, I thought that that worries me.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like
counting on a fourth-round rookie.
Right.
Is tough.
And it doesn't sound like much, but I mean, Jahmyr Jones was out of the equation. It's like I know I can at least throw him out there, and he won't embarrass himself for 10 to 15 snaps a game. And are you going to count on this fourth-round rookie that's a little undersized and maybe in the end ends up on the second level for that stuff to do battle against Orlando Brown?
you know
what I mean? Like, I don't love that situation. You can just see where it would go wrong.
Yeah. I think, I look at It's cornerback. Mm-hmm. You got Peterson. You got Porter. You got Pierre. You got Levi Wallace. You got Corey Trice.
It's a crowded room, too.
Yeah, it's a crowded room. And they've
already moved on from Witherspoon and
Sullivan.
And
you know, they like Duke Dawson.
He's not a throwaway name either.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, they got some guys there that you look at and you go, okay, they got quality depth there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're hoping one of them becomes a star. But if they don't, I can live with it. I mean, corner to me is corner and O-line to me. Yeah, I want to have all pros, of course. You want them everywhere. But if I don't have holes, I'm pretty happy.
If I rush the passer well, which the Steelers should this year.
And Minka makes up for a lot of faults, too.
Yeah.
I mean, just him roaming on the back end is very valuable. But, yeah, if you have a corner room that goes four or five deep of dudes that aren't bad,
yeah,
that's rare in this league right now. It's kind of like an O-line room that goes eight or nine with dudes that aren't bad,
yeah.
You know.
It's, you know, I look at safety. You mentioned Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. You got Keon O'Neill. You got DeMonte KZ. These guys have played a lot of football in this league.
They have. And Neal's an easy guy to forget about.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I bet he ends up contributing every week.
Yeah. And you look at Trey Norwood there. You got Miles Killebrew who's making his team. Mm-hmm. Elijah Riley is a guy who was on their practice squad last year. He started a fair number of games in this league as well.
Yeah, so he's another name that's not a throwaway.
Yeah.
You know, they probably have – who's the linebacker? I should know this because it's not really proved my point so well because I forgot his name. But the linebacker they picked up from the Giants.
He's gone. They cut him.
Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I would say there's a handful of those dudes that aren't projected to make the team.
Not going to make the team now.
Well, nah, bad example, Matt. Yeah.
But you look at that inside linebacker position. It's Fajoco's coming over here.
You want to go to break?
We're going to take a break here so we can get all of Braden Fajoco. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, ESPN 970. We'll be back with more right after this.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. This is a special edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers OTA sessions, and we're pleased to be joined now by Steelers nose tackle Braden Fajoco. And I probably mispronounced it. Fajoco. Fajoco or Fajoco?
Fajoco.
Fajoco.
Okay. Spot on.
We'll get it right. Fajoco. Braden, welcome to Pittsburgh. We haven't had a chance to have you on the air yet here, but how you liking Pittsburgh? What do you like? It's a different. You've been with the Chargers for a few years, but you're making the
move. Different environment.
Yeah, it's very different. We talked about earlier, before we went live, is just the tradition of the city. They really love football here, and they appreciate it. You see it from OTAs. We're out there competing. Coach T is trying to tell us to calm down a little bit, which is a good thing, in our profession. But just seeing the guys, the turnout, everybody's here. You don't see that everywhere, mm-hmm. Where guys are 100% buy-in in voluntary workouts. So, I'm happy to be a part of this culture. I'm happy to contribute in any way possible, shape, or form I can, and, ready to hit this thing rolling in Latrobe.
I think you'll enjoy Latrobe, but I was really impressed these couple of weeks with all the energy here at OTAs. Mm-hmm. That's not unusual year to year, but a lot of new faces like yourself. We've been fortunate enough to sit down with a bunch of them, but media, Pitt being next door, there's just a lot of buzz here at these OTAs. Is that the feeling you get too?
Yeah, it's very cool, right, that the University of Pitt is right there next door. When we walk out to the field for practices, we see the young college guys practicing.
Sure.
And, it's that football culture you develop here, and it just builds over time. And it's cool because, you see everybody's kind of bought in. Like I said, you really don't see teams have 100% buy-in to a voluntary workout. When you got guys like Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and Minka Fitz out there going full speed, you know, it's like, all right.
You got to keep up.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
What's Cam like in that D-line room?
A leader.
I bet.
A seasoned veteran, one of the best players to play the position in the game. And I'm very fortunate to, you know, be in a meeting room with him every day, be on the field working with him, grinding with him, and just picking his brain whenever I can. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always a player I've looked up to since I've been in high school. You know, I don't want to say that.
Hey, it is what it is.
You know, we were talking in the locker room yesterday. I was like, Cam, what year is this for you? And he's like, going to year 13. I was like, wow.
Imagine still being that good in year 13.
I know. And he's still in the prime of his playing.
He gets better every year.
Age is like fine wine.
Yeah.
You mentioned culture. You come from an LSU program that, you know, we won a little natty championship there.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Going to play against that quarterback.
You're going to play against that quarterback.
Think about that, yeah.
What's it like, you know, when you go to a program like that and you're part of that culture, can that carry over to the NFL?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you really don't learn to appreciate and love football until your limits are tested. And that is 100-degree fall camp weather in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, I bet. Wow.
And so, you know, during my early years in L.A., you know, in Southern California, where it was 71 and we were practicing in the morning with a nice cool breeze and, you know, the ocean's about 5 miles away, you're not really tested on how to love and appreciate football as much.
Wow.
So, you know, my early years at LSU really taught me on, you know, do you really love football? You want to give it your all? Well, this is what you got to sacrifice.
Not to mention the competition's great, and you're elite. 18 years old, and you know,
not,
right?
Not
new
being
players.
Biased at all, but I think elite. we produce the best players.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson had some good things to say last week too, 2 weeks ago.
That's an OG right there. That's an OG.
Speaking of Cam, Pat Peterson and Cam that same draft. Are we going to get to see the Haka in the training camp this year?
That's the plan. I mean, they just have to catch me on a day off, you know. the Haka's it's such a traditional war cry. You know, I do it with so much passion, energy. We call it mana in the islands. You know, it's the life force within you, the energy your body produces from your ancestors. But as far as before a practice, knowing how long the practices are and how hard we grind on, you're going to have to catch me on a day off.
There's some energy involved in that.
You haven't been there yet, but that whole place, you talk about tradition, I bet it brings it out of you. That's all I'm going to say. I think you're going to enjoy camp quite a bit. And talk about tradition. It's
but
cool.
I for sure would love to, you know, share my culture with the guys, the coaches, and, you know, the fans as well.
I'm sure it's a coincidence, but it seems like the Steelers all of a sudden have this infusion of island culture. I mean, you don't know the before of it, but a lot of you guys have come from the islands, and I can feel the energy there. It's a very different way of viewing the sport, and, you know, it's new to us. I think it's phenomenal.
It's so funny. You know, when I signed here back in April, you know, when I came on my visit, the first thing we talked about, you know, with Omar and Andy and those guys was not about football, but about the Pollies.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You know, they, you know, signed Isaac. They signed Nate.
Yeah.
Jalen Warren was already here.
And they drafted Nate's brother.
They drafted Nate. Right. And then, you know, not only that, but we talk about the history of the Pollies that have been here. You know, Troy.
I mean, you got to start with Troy.
Chris Kimoyatu. Chris Fumatamaofala.
Sure.
You know, all these guys that I know personally. I mean, just because growing up in Hawaii, I mean,
I'm sure Troy's a legend.
Is a legend.
Yeah.
Troy and
you throw Kimo in there.
Chris and
Tyson. And
Tyson, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I need a slap for not mentioning Tyson. That's a real OG. We grew up in the same city. So,
oh, really? Okay.
You know, he's been a huge mentor of mine. Been a great huge
Steeler.
Just you know, a guy that always reached out whenever I was in college, and you know, hey, B, this is Tyson. You ever need anything, you know, advice or whatever, here's my number. And,
nice.
You know, even when I signed here, and you know, he reached out. He's like, you want to come over? You know, have a barbecue or something? You know, still here? Let me know. Reach out. So, it's been awesome to have other Polynesians here, you know, because, you know, the organization understands your culture. They understand the type of atmosphere we as Polynesians bring to the table. And it's just so awesome to be embodied by that, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
What is it about the Polynesian culture where it just seems like football is such a big part of it?
It's all we have. I wouldn't say it's all we're good at, but it's like a way out for our community, especially being in Hawaii. You know, we come from such a small island, and even if you go to the Pacific Islands, you know, Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, Tahiti, you know, New Zealand, you know, where rugby is kind of the main source of, like, the main
sport.
It's
a very similar sport.
Similar.
Yeah.
And so football has been the way out for Polynesians that have come before me, you know, the Troys, the Haloti Natas, the Junior Seaus. It's been a way out. It's been a way for the rest of the world to appreciate, I think, the embodiment of our physicality.
Yeah. Athleticism.
Our athleticism.
Dedication.
Not just Polynesians being able to play offensive line and defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just a way for people to just understand. And then outside of football, what football brings is now you see guys like myself doing the haka. Now you see, you know, me and Isaac, you know, we like drinking kava. It's a traditional Polynesian drink.
Okay.
It's non-alcoholic. Non-alcoholic. But it's a traditional drink. We partake in it, and, you know, we get to share with each other. We share stories. We sing. We laugh. We play cards. But things like that is what football has granted and gifted us as Polynesians to share with the world.
I'm really expecting the Polynesian influence to show up in La Trobe.
Everybody's
in the dorms and dog days, and I think it's really going to surface
that.
There. Yeah.
You need that. Yeah.
Yeah, energize the whole team.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I my wife and I went to Hawaii. We visited last summer, and we drove the road to Hana, and as we're driving back, we get to the back side of the island, and I see a sign along the road for football signups. I'm like, who do you play when you're all the way out here? You can't get a bus here.
No,
you
know? Man. It's genuine.
Yeah.
You know, it's genuine.
You got to love the game to do that.
You have to. Because there's no, you know, big media outlets out there that are going to cover it.
Right.
You know, not as much exposure as you would get in a California, Texas, mm-hmm. or Florida, you know, type of atmosphere. So kids really love ball in the islands. And every time I have a chance to give back, whether it's, you know, go donate to a camp or, mm-hmm. you know, send my old gear back to, you know, the kids at the high school back home, I always do it because I know they appreciate it. And that's, like, the biggest thing to them.
I'm sure colleges are catching on compared to 10 years ago, 15 years mm-hmm. ago, and they're recruiting the islands a lot more, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think what Polynesians bring to the table, what they lack for in, like, speed, is the density of our bones. Mm-hmm. It's scientifically proven.
No,
Polynesians,
that's a fact.
Have real dense, thick bones. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I always noticed the huge calves.
The calves.
Too, right?
Yeah. If you're ever not sure if somebody's a poly, just look down at the calves. But it's cool. You know, we bring a different type of physicality to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's
the body types translate very well.
Very well.
Very well. Yeah.
Very well.
Leverage and strength. Yeah.
It's, and you need it, you mm-hmm. know, in today's day and age. So I'm excited that there's other guys that look like me in the locker room.
That's cool. It's really cool.
You mentioned Tyson. He's one of the guys you were kind of brought in to replace. Is that – how do you approach that? Is it kind of bittersweet that, like, you're replacing a guy that you've known for a long time?
I think it's very full circle. You know, he's one of those guys I watched since his early days at Cal. You know, even when he was drafted to Jacksonville, even his high school days when he went to St. Louis. You know, Tyson was one of those guys. He played against my older brother, who was an offensive lineman. So they always went against each other. And Tyson was a guy that – you know, very humble, man of few words, but, you know, he played his heart out and left everything out there. And so, you know, I only hope to be, you know, half the player he was here. That's very big shoes to fill and what he was able to do here. And so, you know, hopefully I'm able to carve out, you know, my own role for myself and, you know, but just add to the list of great Polynesians that have come before me here.
As you know, I mean, and Tyson was the epitome of this, is a lot of the nose tackle, A-gap players mm-hmm. – don't get the big stats. Don't mm-hmm. get, you know, they do the dirty work.
Yeah.
But what they do is greatly respected. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your take on the nose tackle position now around the league? You know, it's not glorified. You know,
it's kind of turning into the old fullback position.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing.
You know, you don't know you need it until you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's a fallen art. I think everybody just kind of recruits tackles nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
When you throw nose in front of the tackle, everybody thinks of, like, a bigger body and, you know, wide type of
Vince
clogger.
Wolfork.
Vince Wolfork.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Casey Hampton. Here, yeah.
But the general embodiment of nose tackle is to make sure that they don't run the ball in between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
From B-gap to B-gap, you want to make sure the lanes are technically clogged, but you're playing your blocks well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I take a lot of pride in that. I take a lot of pride in making sure there's no running between the tackles. I take a lot of pride in, you know, putting my hands on the center, making sure he doesn't climb up to the linebacker. And, you know, watching the Pittsburgh Steelers for years run a 3-4.
Yeah.
I mean, since Casey was playing those guys, You know, getting to watch guys like Brett Kiesel, and I'm not even naming nose tackles, but just defensive linemen that play in the 3-4 here. You watch the embodiment of how they play football in a 3-4. It's all very gritty, hard-nosed. Nobody runs in between the tackles, and we take a lot of pride in playing football.
And the linebackers really appreciate it.
Oh,
you're the best buddy.
Steak dinners.
Yeah, there you go. Well-deserved.
Show me you love me by getting me some steak dinners.
So you're 26 years old, and you're dropping these names from the past like it's just nothing.
Yeah.
You have to be a football junkie.
I'm a sports junkie. I love sports in general. I grew up watching sports, but football is my passion. You know, I love it. Me and my brother, we always collected football cards as kids. Hmm. I mean, we went back home to Hawaii this past summer, and in our old storage, I mean, I have like six of those Home Depot totes just filled of just Panini cards and Topps cards.
Mm, cool.
And just all types of, you know, we'd always test each other on, oh, where did this guy go to college? You know, where did he play? What was his stats? What did he have touchdowns that year? And so, man, I love this game. It's brought me so much joy. It's brought me so much highs and lows, but more than anything, it's taken me places that I would never imagine I'd be.
It's kind of crazy you mention that because, as Matt just said, you play a position where you don't get a lot of stats.
And the back of your football card doesn't look as good as the front of it. You know?
My front doesn't look that good either.
You said it, not me.
I don't know. You get those arms are like tree trunks. So
shoot,
arms like my legs.
I need to slim down. I need to slim down the stomach, and we'll start talking. We'll start talking Sports Illustrated magazine cover.
Well, we'll let you get going here, Braden. We don't want to hold you up very much longer. But our guest has been Braden Fajoco, the Steelers' new nose tackle. We welcome you to Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Dale.
Wish you all the luck in the world, and looking forward to seeing you on the field.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Good stuff, man. Thanks.
We are back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We are live at the Steelers OTA sessions here at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. And, wow, what a fun interview with Braden Fajoco.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of energy. Extremely well-spoken, smart, great background. I love the LSU
football.
Yeah, I love the LSU stuff. I mean, he's been around. We had a really good talk with him before we hit record,
We
were at break, to be honest with you. And you know, not to jump in front of you here, but what stood out to me was, like, there's not a history test when you get here. You don't have to know the history of the nose tackle position in here or the history of the Polynesian folks that have been Steelers. But, boy, he was all over it.
Rattled them off like nothing.
Right. I would have maybe forgot Kimiatu or Fu or, you know, I needed a second to think about it. And he just nailed him. It's great. He's going to be a great addition.
The only one thing I think he forgot was Taase Faamuui. Way back on that one. That was very early, early in the Cowher years.
So. And I didn't realize he had a relationship with Tyson before getting here, too.
Well, that's the one thing you do find with the guys from the islands, because it is such a small community.
Sure.
You know, they do know each other, and they go to camps together. As he mentioned, his brother played against, you know.
Yeah, right. He was an offensive lineman trying to block Tyson, right?
Yeah, you're going to know him.
Yeah, you're going to know him. I mean, you'll know of him, of course, but it's interesting that they.
People look at, like, the Whitfield. You know, that's basically what the islands are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you've got, you know, these 25 high schools, and that's who they play against. There's nobody else to play against.
There's nobody to play against, right. But it sure seems like that he's not alone, but he's certainly involved of the guys that have made it, of giving back. You know, I mean,
they all do that as
well. Yeah, that's really cool.
You understand, again, I have such a respect for the Polynesian culture and what they do. In fact, as I mentioned, my wife and I did the whole
Hawaii trip,
trip last year, and I'm like, we got to go to a luau, and I want a luau, and the one that we went to had showed all the different dances.
Okay,
they brought it. This is the traditional dance and this traditional dance, because all the different cultures of different islands, we think of them all as the same.
No, sure,
but they're not.
Different dialects right,
and they all have their different dances, and I thought that was just fascinating.
I bet, and I'm sure they explained it to you and all that, and you could tell how important it is to him and how proud he is of it. And the same is true with Isaac, and I mean, I think that's going to be a theme, and it amazes me how much Polynesian infusion all of a sudden this team has, and I can't help but think that's a good thing.
Well, it brings
toughness, size,
toughness,
physicality,
love of the game, physicality. Yeah, I mean,
I love that he recognized, too, that, I mean, not all walks of life are built the same. He's like, our bones are denser, we have bigger calves. You know, I mean, there's some leverage issues and things that are very football related.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, you see that they're like, you know, Jalen Warren is a shorter guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's built.
He's pretty thick.
He's pretty thick. He's built the same way.
And, right.
You know, that Polynesian background is.
I mean, Troy the same way.
Yeah,
I mean, very
much.
Muscles on muscles, and you know, a rounder build. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to seeing him on the football field. And
mm-hmm.
Let me see that Taka.
Oh, that's gonna come out, man. I think it's gonna be the peak of camp, the dog days of camp. He's gonna light everybody up and get the whole thing going. And you can see it's really important to him too.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, his dad. That's what his dad. It's a traditional Maori dance,
mm-hmm.
and that's what his dad does.
That's what he does for a living, right?
I mean,
right,
I believe so. Yeah.
I think so.
So very interesting guy, and I think another good addition to that locker room.
Mm-hmm. And good football player, too. I mean,
yeah,
I think he understands his role, and, hey, I don't need – the back of my football card doesn't need to be littered with sacks and numbers, and if I can do my job between the B gaps, it's going to be valuable to the team.
I do think it's interesting, Matt, when you look at both he and Montrevious Adams,
mm-hmm.
and people might look at that and go, well, these guys have spent time on practice squads.
Sure.
Because, as he mentioned, the nose tackle position is not one that all teams feel like they need. It's much like the fullback position.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, if he were as good as his job as he is as a nose and was a left tackle, he wouldn't spend a second on a practice squad.
No, you're not going to expose that guy to somebody
right.
signing him, but because teams now feel
there's
like,
not a huge demand.
We don't need a nose tackle.
And some teams don't even use one.
Right.
You
just don't have one on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know you need them until you're standing there in the fourth quarter of a game and it's, you know, you're down 3 points and that team's running the football on you.
I think how he said it and was really well said as the whole interview was you don't know you need us until you need us.
Yeah.
And I remember Casey Hampton vividly, and you'd remember even better than I do, was teams would either scheme it up so he doesn't play and sits there and holds his helmet on the sideline because they're just going to throw. Or you're going to put him in the game and try to move him, and then it goes to run game.
Yeah, good
you
luck
know
with
what
that.
I mean? Right.
Yeah.
It was kind of a catch-22. And even he had great value even when he played 10 snaps a game in some instances.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I can remember having that conversation with Casey, you know, with games where he'd play 14 snaps, and he's mm-hmm. like, you know, they're throwing every down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Casey thought he could rush the passer.
And there's some there.
He could some, but not as well as some of the other guys that you're going to put out
sure.
there. But I'm sure it's frustrating for those guys. That
in a way, right?
I
want
to play football.
I can scheme a way to get you off the field if
yeah.
you're really good at what you do, but it's also a compliment.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you don't have that guy,
then they just gouge you.
Now they're going to line up in their big package and they're going to run the ball.
Yeah, that's actually what I meant to say more so was what if you cut Hampton or didn't give him the money? Well, then all of a sudden you're giving up 6 yards of carry, snap after snap after
people
snap.
People go, they can't stop the run.
Right. So your presence is felt even when you're not out there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned to him, the linebackers love them.
I think he's gotten a steak dinner or two over his career, too.
You love having that kind of, you know, that guy in front of you eating up quite literally two or three, even sometimes three blockers.
There was so much good stuff to talk to him about, but I wanted to take the nose tackle conversation farther because we're seeing so much too high, and we're seeing so many linebackers that are athletes that aren't take-on players. I mean, there's no Levon Kirkland's, obviously,
right.
or Earl Holmes or those type of dudes. I don't think that nose tackle's going the way of fullback. I think it dipped in the history, but I think it's coming back
the
in
way
a big
the
way.
League is now coming full circle with running the football and teams running the Steelers being one of them.
Right.
You better have a nose tackle.
You better.
For
or at least someone that can occupy
space. You're going
to
play Cleveland.
Call them whatever you want. Right.
Even Cincinnati, you're going to see you know, some times where they're going to line up and try to – most of the time they're in 11 personnel.
But it's a blocking tight end and it's a big back. And, you know, I mean, you're still playing with lighter boxes. I mean, people are defending the run with fewer players, so I think you need more beef. I mean, I think the – 320-pound guy that gets a sack a year but does that A-gap responsibilities isn't going away. And maybe the history of that position dipped, but I think it's about to come back.
Well, and the interesting thing about it for this particular defense and this particular team is when they do get in those situations where they line up in their 3-4 defense,
mm-hmm.
it's really a five-man line.
It's a five-man front. Right.
And you got to deal with that.
You got to deal with that. And that's actually a big trend, too.
If you're going to double T.J. Watt
mm-hmm.
or you're going to double Cam Hayward, But this guy can eat up two blockers as well. That's going to get somebody free.
No doubt. And it's another huge trend you're seeing in the league, too, is five-man fronts. Yeah. And people call it a 3-4 or whatever. You can call it whatever you want. Yeah. It's a five-man front. And
The linebackers don't drop like they used to.
No,
they drop some, but not
Right. I mean, you're putting five pass rushers on the field. Like, the Eagles are a perfect example. Everyone looks at them like they're a strict 4-3. You got Hargrave next to Cox with Reddick standing up and five men across the front that can all rush the passer and stop the run. And in a way, it's not phasing out linebackers, but you're seeing fewer true second-level guys on the field. If I have a five-man front with a two-high shell, well, that's seven dudes right there.
Right.
You know, and that's not even talking about the corners.
The corners. Gotta
right.
be out in the
usually you have three corners.
Right.
So that leaves one guy, you know, so – linebackers are hard to find, and there's so many wealth and different body types of D linemen coming in the league that you play with the five, you get your best five out there on the front, you know, and have one linebacker at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, Mike Tomlin likes to call it positionless football.
That's a bit of a misnomer, too.
In some ways, there are guys who are positionless,
mm-hmm.
but you still have to have the specialists.
Yeah, right. I mean, someone's got to cover the back. I mean, they all got to do their own thing. And offensive coordinators and minds are just too smart that if you don't have that nose tackle or you don't have whatever, player X, that's how they're going to attack.
There's only one queen in the chess game.
Yeah.
It can do everything.
Yeah.
That's the rare piece.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Watt. That's Donald. That's Warner. You know, I mean, there's guys like that. But there's a rare players that are – doesn't matter what scheme it is.
Yeah. And, you know, so, I think, you know, if that was a very underrated signing, I think, for the Steelers. I think you go into this, you look at – you always look at your schedule, what you need to do to beat the teams in your division first.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start looking at your schedule and go, okay, we play these four teams this year that are going to try. They're going to line up and try to run the football. We believe that's what we think going into the season.
Tennessee and the Colts.
Yeah, you're playing the Titans. You better have a nose tackle.
Sure, and some of them, a lot of them are lesser teams, but you know the voluminous running is.
You let them run on you.
You're
going to be in for a long
day. Giants, Bears. I mean, these teams that are just going to be dedicated to it. I mean, you got to stop that first and foremost. So I do think it's interesting. Lumping him with Adams is interesting to me. And I'm not picking on Adams, but I think he's in trouble in terms of roster spot. And I think Adams is less nosy than Braden is.
I think Braden's a true nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even I remember Adams coming out of school. He played some more 3 technique. He would try to win with quickness and get up the field. And it's not exactly what you want. You know, I mean, I think he's reinvented himself as a nose, but he's not as stout or as wide or as thick or as hard to move with a double team. But he might make a play in the backfield more for you, you know?
I mean, Fajoco's a big dude.
He's a thick, strong guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, sitting here across the table from him, his arms are bigger than my legs.
Right. He was certainly impressive. And that's all the new guys are bigger than required.
Big. It's like they're going back to the days of the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Except the difference is now these guys can all run.
They can all run, too.
It's crazy the way this goes. But
there wasn't a new addition that was undersized or even average size.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Braden as well, and we didn't get a chance to ask him this, but he started his career at Texas Tech.
Oh, I forgot he transferred to LSU, huh?
Yeah. So,
okay.
You know, I assume,
a lot different environment,
I assume
sure.
he was at Texas Tech with Pat Mahomes.
Was thinking about bringing up Mahomes just
and
because he had to chase him around.
And LSU
for a
with Joe Burrow.
Yeah. How about that? Wow. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. Herbert wasn't too shabby either.
Yeah.
And maybe this Pickett guy's next.
Yeah, maybe. What do you see there? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, maybe he's the kingmaker of all that. They couldn't have done it without him.
There's a commonality. There's a theme.
Yeah. And develop good quarterbacks.
Yeah. But interesting. Matt, Day 8 is about in the books here. And
one more of these.
One more of these, then we're back next week for the real thing, the mini camps. I saw that the Jets canceled their mini camp. That's shocking.
I don't understand that. I mean, if you want to not get Aaron Rodgers in harm's way or some of your injured dudes, the Breece Halls of the world coming back, fine. But how could not getting together be a good idea?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I mean, and you have the ability to do it.
For a team that's in many ways kind of young, and they got a bunch of new guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Including a quarterback.
I mean, their rookie class was phenomenal, but couldn't another – I don't care how good your rookie year was. Year two should be better, and, you know, give me some more time. They're big aspirations. I don't get that. I mean, 99% of the NFL coaches complain we don't have enough practice time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm in that camp.
I mean, I get, you know, maybe you're feeling the pulse of your team, and the team's like, oh, we got a good amount of work in here. Maybe you feel pretty good about everything you did.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's the fact that Rodgers is nursing a little something. I think he had an ankle or something.
Okay.
But, I
understand, hey, you're in training camp practice number 18,
yeah,
and the team's dragging, and, you know, we'll cancel it in uplift spirits.
We'll do a little something different today.
Right,
yeah.
But if you're at that point now, in the first week of June, I mean, I'm not implying the Jets are, but you should be in – it's optimism time.
You know? Right,
right,
yeah,
right. I mean, especially if you've got a new quarterback, you know.
And you're in New York. You want that media attention.
All above. You know? Right, right. I don't understand that at all. I mean, I don't think the Steelers are even considering such a thing.
They are not.
No, they will be here next week.
They will be here next week.
We'll be here tomorrow.
As will we. We'll be back tomorrow, as Matt just mentioned. Having fun with these.
These player interviews,
they've been great.
Yeah, they have been great. I mean, I understand the rules. I wish we could talk about more of what's happening in front of us. But still, I mean, the player interviews have been great. I've been blown away by the weather, the atmosphere, the energy. I mean, all the above.
Hanging out with me.
Hanging out with you. How about that?
And CJ.
Talking to all our listeners.
Talking to all of our listeners, both of them. Well, we know there's more than that. We do appreciate you all listening.
And many of you were very kind yesterday to extend a birthday wish to me. And, hey, the Steelers had had birthday cake in the cafeteria.
They did.
That was nice of them as well.
I believe it was for somebody else, though.
They didn't specify. I didn't see the cake before they cut it, so it was either me or Pickett. I'm not sure.
One of the two.
Yeah. So
you guys both carry the same gravitas.
I'm just gonna say it was 50-50. Me and the starting quarterback.
And steaks for lunch too.
Right, right, right. I requested that.
Yeah,
it was nice of them. No, but it's been a blast.
It has been a blast, and we're going to continue to do this through next week, through the mini camp sessions as well. But having lots of fun here. Minkah Fitzpatrick was over there holding court.
I wonder what he is saying.
Yeah, so here's how dedicated Minkah is.
Mm-hmm.
So the media, you're allowed in the locker room until 12:30. You get from 12, basically, or a little after 12 to 12:30.
Okay.
Minkah hasn't talked at all during these OTA sessions. Now, they don't have to talk.
Sure, sure.
But he doesn't talk because he's still out here working on the field. Because
he's not done at 12:30.
He's not done, yeah. He's, right. he's still out here getting work done. So, I mean, yeah, we talked about that, you know, last week that
It was like 12:40, and there were still a bunch of dudes out there.
It's not an accident. Yeah. That guy's good.
Oh, no. I don't want to reveal some of his drills, but you could see him really doing specific things after practice, you know, with one other person, isolated stuff that he really wants to work on. And that's infectious. I mean, that was one of the first things Braden mentioned. It was Hayden, you know, he said, Hayward, Watt, Minkah out here working harder than anybody. You know, like that stuff
you do
matters.
That, and that's what, you know, those guys set the tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Tomlin sets the tone, but then you know, you expect your leaders to also set the tone.
Sure,
and if
sure.
they're here, you're going to be here.
Right, right, right. No, I think that's one of the best assets this whole organization has.
Absolutely. But that's going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for CJ here on site, keeping us on the air, we also want to thank Brave Fajoco for stopping by, Steelers PR for grabbing him for us.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 97.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.